And Jesse Bates is a good player. But to me, I think when, you know, Byard, the kid at Tennessee, right? Kevin Byard, he's really a good player. They're trying to get him to take a pay cut. So would I sign Bates? If he doesn't take a pay cut, they're going to cut him. So if I sign Bates, do I go after – I would rather have Byard than Bates. I think he's really a good player. So you got to kind of play that around a little bit. You got to wait.
Oh, Kevin Byard. Wow, that's an interesting one because, yeah, he's a former All-Pro. He's a really good player,
but they're trying to get him to take a pay cut. He doesn't want to do it. Now, you know, this is where the rubber meets the road. Who's – you know, are they bluffing? Are they not bluffing? You know? Yeah. I mean, they got cap issues. I mean, that team's in a mess.
There you go. That was Mike Lombardi on the GM Shuffle, and I followed up. You know, I went in. I said, okay, is this true or not? Because, again, Lombardi's got sources, but I don't know what his sources with the Titans are. So I wanted to see whether or not Lombardi was, I talked to my sources. They told me Kevin Byard has requested a release from the team. And I'm just, as I said, if I'm running the team, that is not on the table. Make of that what you will. And requesting a release does not mean we'll be released. At least not yet. Corey Curtis joins us. News 2, as always, we are live at the Rusty Nail here in Hermitage celebrating the second day of the tournament. Corey, let's start with that. The idea that the Titans, it was originally Derrick Henry shopping him last week. This week it's Byard and the Titans. What do you make of it?
Well, I know there's a lot of people who've said that Derrick Henry's the best player on the team, but there's only one guy on the team who's been an All-Pro 2 times. And then what else does Mike Vrabel stress about Kevin Byard when the season is over? He never misses a game. I don't think he's missed a game in 7 years. I mean, the guy has value because he's an outstanding player, and he's there every week. He's outstanding in the community. He's outstanding in the locker room. He's outstanding in every area. You can say he's a safety. How many games is he good for? I can go back last year to the Dallas game. He's the only reason you're in the game. Go back to the Rams game 2 years ago. He wins that game. The game in Indianapolis, he wins that game. I mean, that's a guy who makes plays to win games for this team. He bona fide makes this team better. And I understand you're in a cap situation, even though I know you say the cap doesn't matter. I would go elsewhere for money before I ask that guy to take a pay cut, because he's done everything to earn every dime you have given him.
You know, I said this to Caroline when I said that I was told that Byard's requested his release. This is what I think happened, Corey. I think the Titans went to Byard and said, "We'd like you to take a pay cut." And Byard said, "Well, if I'm going to take a pay cut, you got to guarantee me some money next year." They said no, and he said, "Well, then release me." You know, almost calling them on the bluff. You know, screw you if you're going to try. I think if that's what happened, Corey, I'm on Kevin Byard's side.
Absolutely. I mean, yeah, like I said, you could very well argue the best player on the team. He has done everything you ever asked for him as a player. Now, you've got a lot of money sunk into the safety position because you paid Amani Hooker. But, you know, that's not Kevin Byard's fault. That was the previous GM who did that. And, you know, you can't ask Byard to fix all of your problems. And look, I know there's no loyalty, with the way things are done. Mike Vrabel got traded to the Chiefs, you know, so he knows. He's been through it. But again, there are other areas where I think you could go get money rather than really dumping on a guy who's arguably your best player of the last decade and could be on your Titans Mount Rushmore.
Corey Curtis is our guest. One thing that I believe in my heart, I cannot imagine Mike Vrabel would be okay with releasing Kevin Byard. What do you think?
Yeah, like I said, he's there every week. He's prepared. He prepares mentally. He prepares physically. I don't know how releasing him makes you better. I really don't. They've already said goodbye to A.J. Brown and some other, you know, guys who are good players. I can't imagine, you know, just like people have said with Derrick Henry, I can't imagine releasing this one. And I can't imagine Mike Vrabel being okay with it either. But, you know, again, he's been through it. Maybe, you know, they've got a plan that we don't know. And, you know, maybe there's a method to this madness. But I just – maybe I'm too emotionally connected to Kevin Byard because, you know, coming from middle and, you know, the whole thing with him not going to the combine and seeing what a great player he's been, and, you know, it's just – it's kind of unfathomable to me. It really is.
Mm-hmm. Corey Curtis is our guest from News 2. What do you think ends up happening? Do you think Byard ends up taking a pay cut? Do you think Byard ends up getting released? Do you think Byard ends up getting traded? I mean, what if you had to say today what you think ends up happening, what do you think will happen?
Well, I asked Kevin in the locker room during locker cleanout day, was it important for him to finish his career here? He said, I mean, he went in depth at how important it was for him to finish a Tennessee Titan. So for him to, if he did ask for his release, he's got to be really upset. I mean, really upset. So I think cooler heads need to prevail, and they've got to find a way to figure things out. You know, they haven't made any cuts yet that are shockers. They've all been moves we've kind of expected to see. So this would qualify to me as a shocker, because you're cutting away a guy who still has probably three more really good years in him and who's there for you every week. I would think you would try to find a way, if you want him to be a part of your football team, to let cooler heads prevail and work something out.
So I'm not one of these people who believes in the salary cap, but I do understand, like, you know, kind of the premise of it, right? I don't think the Titans are in as bad a cap problem problems as everybody makes them out to be. I mean, I really don't. You know, you play the year with Henry, you play the year with Tannehill, you play the year with Byard, and then after this year, you essentially have a clean slate, you know, in terms of dead money and everything else. I mean, I don't get, you know, it's not like the Titans are $40 million over the cap right now. I mean, they're fine.
Well, I mean, they've got money pushed down the road, too. I mean, part of Tannehill's deal pushes money down the road. I think
So does Henry, so does Byard.
Yeah, so they've all got money pushed down the road. And the question is, how much of that do you want to push down the road? I'm not a fan of these automatically voiding years. It's like the whole Bobby Bonilla deal to me. I think it's bad for football. I think you need to run your business the way you run your business, and that's not inventing years to dump money in. In my estimation. So I think that can be a problem, you know, as you look to what you have to do. But you also have to look and say, what players do you need to extend? And right now they need to extend Jeffrey Simmons. They may end up wanting to extend a guy like Tier Tart down the road. You know, but after that, you know, how many other guys are you looking at saying, yeah, this guy's going to be a big-money player in 2 or 3 years? You could, you know, question Traylon. You can question Christian Fulton. You can question, you know, Roger McCreary. You know, Chigakonko. You can say, well, these guys might. None of those guys are like, yeah, that guy's, you know, going to get a big second deal at this point. So they're not overloaded with guys that are going to demand huge second contracts, at least at this point in the next year or two.
Corey, what do you make of what they've done in free agency so far? We had a caller in the last segment, I thought hit it on the head, that was talking about how, you know, what we're hearing about shopping Henry and asking Byard to take a pay cut and everything else, what we're hearing is going in one direction, and what they did in free agency feels like they're going in another direction. And I agree with that. I like what they've done in free agency. What do you think about it?
Well, I like that I don't think they've spent a lot of bad money. You know, they haven't gone out and just given ridiculous bad contracts to marginal players because they had to. They've filled some needs. They've gotten some players that obviously the new GM knows, and I think that can help them as well. You know, they've clearly got a plan for replacing some people. You know, obviously they've got a few more. But, you know, look, I know David Long was a good player, but David Long missed a lot of games. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's tough to count on guys, you know, as Mike Vrabel called them, that are repeat offenders, and you're constantly having to call up guys to replace them. And, you know, they appear to be moving on from a number of those guys. So I think it's been calculated, it's been planned, and I think it's been responsible. I think that would be the best way for me to put it.
Fireball Hot Take Friday, Corey Curtis, News 2 with us. What is your hot take?
Well, my hot take last week was that Vanderbilt was going to beat Kentucky and make the tournament. I have no sense of what you have to do to make the tournament anymore. None. And I know we go through this stuff every year, but, you know, how you play at the end should be important. And there's no way they weren't one of the 68 best teams in the country when the season ended. And I feel bad for a team that gave everything that it had, even after Liam Robbins went down. I really do. There's not often I feel sorry for Vanderbilt, because I think most of Vanderbilt's problems are self-created. I feel sorry for those kids because they deserve a spot in the field of 68. And I'm just, I really feel bad for them. I really do.
Well said, Corey Curtis. And you know me, I hammer Vanderbilt all the time.
They deserve it so much, but not this time. They deserve our pity.
This team, in my opinion, this Vanderbilt team belonged in the NCAA tournament. And when I watch these other teams play in this tournament, I mean, Vandy would kill some of these teams.
It's shocking to me that you looked at what they did the last 2 months of the season and said, yeah, we're not going to include them. They did lose to Grambling early in the year. And I know they did, and there's no way around it. But you have to look at some point and say, are they one of the best in the country at this point in the top 68? And there's no doubt that they are. I know there's only so many at-large compared to automatics. I'm not total moron, just partially. But I'm sure I could find five teams and say, put them in ahead of that.
Mm-hmm. Corey Curtis, News 2, as always, joining us on the program. Corey, great stuff, as always. Appreciate your time. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, man.
Corey Curtis joining us on the program. 615-737-1025. We'll get back into your phones on this. We'll reset the news of the day. We are live from the Rusty Nail out here in Hermitage, hanging out, watching the tournament, everything else. Stillman & Company, 1025, 106.3 The Game.